to the word of the Lord this morning. There's just something special in the atmosphere. It's such an honor to join with Pastor Shindaw and his family and this entire host church. And this day is all about love. This day is all about connecting with the love of God. And we are just convinced, as was already made mention of, if you've never been baptized today, you need to be baptized before you leave here. If you need a healing in your body, you need to receive that healing today. If you've never had the awesome experience of being filled with God's power and presence, you're going to have an opportunity to receive that in just a moment, because it's here. Turn to your neighbor and tell them something special is here. Turn to your other neighbor, tell them something special is here. Oh, say it like you mean it. It's here. Hallelujah. We're going to be going to John chapter 9. John chapter 9. We're going to begin at verse 1. John chapter 9 and verse 1. The Bible says these words: "And Jesus passed by, and he saw a man which was blind from his birth. His disciples asked him, saying, Master, who did sin, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? Jesus answered, Neither hath this man sinned nor his parents. What? But that the works of God should be made manifest in him." Wow. Then he continued, "I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day. The night cometh when no man can work. As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world." And when he had thus spoken, he spat on the ground. He made clay of the spittle, and he anointed the eyes of the blind man with clay. And he said unto him, "Go wash in the pool of Siloam," which is by interpretation, sent. And he went his way therefore and washed and came seeing. I don't want to just leave this place. I want to be sent from this place. And I want to be sent with power. I want to be sent with hope. I want to be sent with love. I want to be sent with deliverance. I want to be sent with an experience with God, a supernatural encounter unlike any other. So if God will help me today, and I believe he's going to, I just want to preach to you the next few moments on this simple subject. Your problem has you right where your promise wants you. Your problem has you right where your promise wants you. One more time, can we lift up our hands? Can we lift up our voices one more time? Can we open up our mouth and talk to Jesus? Can you just ask Jesus to do what only Jesus can do today? Jesus, the preacher can't do it. The singers can't do it. My friends can't do it. But God, I'm here today for you to do what only you can do. God, it doesn't matter where I am. It doesn't matter what I'm going through. I'm in your house on your day, and I just believe that when I worship you, when I reach out to you, you will answer, you will heal, you will supply, and you will do what I need you to do. If you believe that, would you say in the name of Jesus? Come on, would you say in the name of Jesus? And would you clap your hands one more time? Would you clap your hands one more time? Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. God bless you. You can be seated on this Sunday morning. Our story starts out so powerful. It simply starts, and Jesus saw a blind man. Let that sink in for just a moment. Let that settle in for just a moment. Jesus saw a blind man. Jesus saw a blind man. He saw a man that could not see him. He saw a man that was blind, a man that was in utter darkness. But our story lets us know that this man's dysfunction was not Jesus's dysfunction. And this man's handicap was not Jesus's handicap. And this man's weakness was not Jesus's weakness. So that lets you and I know on a Sunday morning that when we step into the house of God, it does not matter what mistake we bring into this place. It does not matter what insecurity we bring into this place. It does not matter what sickness we bring into this place. Our God is able to see us even when we cannot see Him. Somebody ought to just clap their hands for just a moment and celebrate the fact that my limitations are not God's limitations. Jesus passes by a blind man, and all of a sudden the religious people around him, they do what a lot of us do. When you can't figure out something, you got to blame somebody. And they said, Jesus, what's the matter? What's taking place? What has happened here? Who sinned? Did he sin or did his parents sin? All of a sudden, Jesus looks at them and he shocks the religious crowd. He shocks their human logic. He shocks their craniums and their thought processes when he tells them, nope, he's not to blame. His parents are not to blame. I'm to blame. Because not everything problematic in your life is satanic. And not everything dark in your life is demonic. Jesus stepped back and he shocked the whole scene. And he shocked everyone listening and hearing when he told them, I am getting ready to manifest my greatness through this weakness. What you see is a problem. What you see is a dysfunction. But I'm getting ready to do a work. Come on, I'm here to remind somebody, you are not defined by your past. You are not defined by your weakness. I hope you left your halos at home, because I'm not here to preach to perfect people and I'm not here to preach to angels. You're sitting on the same row as a miracle. But before that miracle was a miracle, it was a mistake. It was a failure. It was a mess up. It was... But you see, there was somebody that saw us even when we could not see Him. There was somebody that reached to us even when we could not reach to Him. Jesus said, hey, I'm getting ready to do works. I'm getting ready to manifest my glory. I'm getting ready to perform a testimony. Let me just go ahead and let you know. Let me just clue you in. That's why some of us can't stay still on our seat, and that's why some of us get a little fidgety in church, and that's why we just want to raise our hand every chance we get, and we just want to jump every chance we get, because I wasn't always a testimony. I wasn't always a miracle. But then Jesus starts talking, and his talk is getting crazier and crazier as he tells them. He says, I gotta do the work of my Father while it is day. For the night cometh when no man can work. Now hold up. What? Do you know who you're talking to? You're talking to a man in darkness. You're talking to a man who is blind. And you're saying, I must do the work of my Father while it is day, before the darkness comes. Hey, Jesus, we hate to break it to you, but there's a man in the dark right now. And you're saying you're talking about the day, and it's going to get dark, and he's already in darkness. You ever felt like one of those moments where you had to start praying for Jesus? You thought Jesus was in trouble. You thought Jesus maybe needed a little help. All right, oh, you're going to lie to me. And they're worried about Jesus. And Jesus is just talking. He's saying, it's daytime right now, but you see, darkness is coming when no man can work. Darkness is coming when no man can work. Darkness is coming when no man can work. But God can do in your darkness what man cannot do. And God can do in your tragedy what man cannot do. And God can do in your darkness what doctors cannot do. And God can do in your darkness what counselors can't do. And God can do in your darkness what lawyers can't. Because it makes no difference if he's in the day or the night, the darkness or the light. He has no limitations. He said the darkness and the daylight, they are alike to me. You see, we're humans. We're used to clocking in and clocking out. You see, normal human beings, they work during the day, and then there's those special species among us. They do the night shift. A special species among us that do the night shift. But normal people, they don't have those genius and skillful abilities. We work during the day and we clock out at night. We go home and we rest and we get up and we clock in and we clock out and we clock in and we clock out. And more than likely, even if you work at night, then you clock in during the night and you clock out in the morning and you go home and you collapse and you get some rest. And when the night comes, you clock in and you clock out. And what Jesus is trying to tell them is, you see, you're defined by your days and your nights, and you're defined by when you clock in and when you clock out, and you're defined by when you work and when you don't work. But what I'm trying to convey to you is, I never clock in and I never clock out, because I'm, even when you're in the emergency room, I don't clock out. Even when you're in the courtroom, I don't clock out. I never start working and I never stop working. I'm simply always working on your behalf. I'm sorry, I just got to shout a moment. Even when I don't feel it, he's working. Even when I don't see it, he's working. Even when I don't understand it, he's working. And if it hasn't gotten crazy, it's about to get crazier. You see, sometimes deliverance is crazy. Sometimes getting your miracle is crazy. But it's never crazier than the junk you're already in. And it's never crazier than the dysfunction that you're already in. You see, there was a man that he was cutting himself, and he was living in tombs, and he was crying out, and everybody was fine with it. That's, oh man, that's just what he does. But then he got to the feet of Jesus, and he was clothed. He was sitting and he was in his right mind. And the whole town was scared out of their mind. You got to watch out when people are more scared of your deliverance than your dysfunction. You got to be real careful when people are more scared of your miracle than your mistakes. So when you come into the house of God, you think, oh my word, why do I have to dance? Why do I have to shout? Why do I have to come to church? Why do I have to lift up my voice? That's a little crazy. Yeah. Well, if you knew all the stuff that God brought us out of, this isn't crazy. This is deliverance. This is victory. This is love. This is joy. So we don't mind getting a little crazy. We don't mind dancing. We don't mind shouting. I told you, it's about to get real cray-cray. Sit down. Tell your neighbor, it's about to get cray-cray. Jesus spits into the ground. He spits into the ground. He wipes the spit in the mud. And all of a sudden, he puts the mud and he puts the spit over the eyes of the blind man. Now, When's the last time you went to church and that happened? And let's just guess how long you would stay in church if that happened. I'd be catching chilies early. Jesus gets some mud and he gets some spit. And the Bible doesn't just say he put it on the eyes of that blind man. The Bible says he anointed him. He anointed him. What does anointing mean? That just means the empowerment of God. That means the divine favor and help of God upon a human life to do something and to fulfill something that it could not normally do. And I want you to notice something. Jesus anointed his eyes before he ever opened his eyes. So some of you are wondering why God can use you and why God wants to love you and why even get baptized today. Am I worthy to be filled with the Spirit? Am I worthy for God's hand to be upon my life? Am I worthy to fulfill my destiny? Can I just tell you, God doesn't always bring you out and then anoint you. Sometimes he anoints you to bring you out. What are you trying to say? Even in your darkness, God has his hand on you. Even in your mess, God has his hand on you. Even when you're a little messed up and twisted, God has his... See, some of you are afraid to shout. You're afraid to expose yourself. I've not always been perfect. I've not always had it all together. But God put his hand on me. God put his hand on me. Even when I didn't have it figured out. Even when I couldn't see everything. I gotta hurry. All of a sudden, he stumbles to the pool. He's stumbling around. He can't see everybody, but I promise you, everybody can see him. Because it's not every day you see someone walking around with spit and mud for instead of Ray-Bans. they're putting him on the ground. They're Facebook living. Who is this guy? He got spit and mud in his eyes. It don't make sense. But he's getting closer. He's getting closer to the pool. He's just doing what Jesus told him to do. Did you hear me? He's just doing what Jesus told him to do. And all of a sudden, he's about to wash in that pool. And when he washes in that pool, when he washes in that water, the Bible says that he's going to come out of that water and he's going to be able to see. He's going to have a new identity. He's going to have a new vision. Did you know the Bible tells us the words of Jesus? You must be born of the water and of the Spirit. And when you're born of the water and the Spirit, you begin to see things a whole lot differently. You begin to live life. You see, I can take you to the place and I can take you to the time where I got down on my knees and I lifted up my hands and I was born of the Spirit as God filled me with the gift of the Holy Ghost. And I can take you to the moment and I can take you to the place where I stepped into the frigid waters of baptism because the heater wasn't working that Sunday. But I made up in my, it's working a day, but I made up in my mind, I'd rather go home freezing and I'd rather go home cold because when I go home, I'll be freezing, but I'll be forgiven. All my sins will be washed away. I'm going to walk differently. I'm going to talk differently. I'm going to see differently. Somebody just clap your hands for just a moment. You see, let's break this down for just a moment. What does it mean to be born of the water and of the Spirit? You see, Jesus, the Old Testament had prophesied in the last days, God was going to pour out his Spirit upon all flesh. You see, we're living in the end times. How do we know we're living in the end times? Well, there's wars and there's rumors of wars and there's diseases and there's pestilence and there's famine and there's wickedness. But the greatest reason that we know that we are living in the end time is that because all over the globe, God is pouring out his spirit. People are speaking in tongues in China. People are getting the Holy Ghost in Europe. People are getting the Holy Ghost in Africa. People are being baptized in South America. Muslims are receiving the Holy Ghost. Atheists are receiving the Holy Ghost. Doctors are receiving the Holy Ghost. The homeless are receiving. Everybody's receiving the Holy Ghost. People are being baptized all over the globe. They're being baptized in the backs of trucks when they're filling it with plastic and pouring water in. They're being baptized in hot tubs. They're being baptized in hotels because God is using every problem in their life to bring them closer to their promise. Can I just tell you on this Sunday morning, life's not always been easy and life's not always been fair. But can I tell you that God's been working in your pain and God's been working in your tragedy and God's been working in your abuse and God's been working in your mess ups. And in case you haven't realized, you're here today. You're here today. You're in the presence of a promise. You're in the presence of the Spirit. You're in the presence of the miraculous. It was prophesied of old. Jesus spoke about it. He said, my disciples, they're going to speak with new tongues. On the day of Pentecost, the Bible says the Spirit began to be poured out on all those that were perfect. No, on all those that were praying, on all those that were hungry. And all of a sudden, people began to gather. And they said, what does this mean? What is going on? What is happening? But then they asked another question. What do we do to get it? We don't understand it. We don't have it all figured out, but we can feel something different. You see, I've been to the doctor and this is different, and I've been to the club and this is different, and I've been around important people, but this is different. And so all of a sudden they begin to ask the question, what do we got to do? And so Peter stands up and he says, this is what you need to do. You need to repent. What does repent mean? Repent means you need to have a change of direction. Because every single one of us wants to make heaven our home. Amen? Amen? I said every single one of us wants to make heaven our home. But the Bible says that every single one of us are born a sinner, which means we are walking in a direction that is towards an eternity without God, a direction towards an eternity where heaven is not our home. And so if we want a destination change, we have to have a direction change. And so the Bible says Peter stood up and it was God's words through Peter's mouth. And he said, you just got to repent, turn around, and you got to be baptized. How? In the name of Jesus Christ. Why? For the remission of your sins. Amen. Why the name of Jesus? Why baptism? Because when you go into that water, it is your burial. And when you are buried in the name of Jesus, the old person stays down and the new person comes up. And when you are baptized, you are buried with Christ. And when you come up, you don't bring your problems with you. You don't bring your sin. You are baptized into the name that is above every name. What's the third thing he said? You got to repent. You got to be baptized in the name of Jesus. Well, how else did they baptize? There's no other way that they baptized. All throughout the book of Acts, they were baptized in the name of the Lord. They were baptized in the name of Jesus. They were baptized in the name of Jesus. They were baptized in the name of Jesus. There is no other way in the Bible that you can find. Because I don't want just the denomination's way. I don't want the priest's way. I don't want the preacher's way. I don't want what my church's way is. I want the way of the Bible. I want what Jesus commanded. I want what Jesus stated.
Then Peter said, when you've repented and you are baptized in the name of Jesus, he said, there's one more thing. You shall, not perhaps, not maybe, not a spiritual bonus. He said, you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost for the promise. For the promise is unto you and to your children and to them that are off. The promise is for every age. The promise is for every ethnicity. The promise is for every generation. The promise is for you today and is for those that are afar off. So ask your neighbor a really personal question. Do you have problems? Yes. Come on, ask your neighbor. If y'all weren't friends, you're about to be friends. Do you have problems? If they answered no, they lied to you. If they answered yes, they get a prize. Now ask them a second question. I asked you if you had problems and you said yes. Hopefully. Now ask them a second question. Do you have a promise? Because that problem has brought you right where your promise wants you. I don't care how bad you are. I don't care how good you are. You got a promise. I don't care how young you are, how old you are. You've got a promise. I don't care if you're a sinner that's done every book, that's done every sin in the book, and then you wrote a new book. There's a promise for you. I don't care if you're perfect and religious. There's a promise for you. Somebody clap your hands right now. If you're a living witness, I know what that promise looks like. I know what that promise feels like. I know what that promise is all about. Throw the first picture up there, brother. Throw the first picture up there. We were in a service in Florida, and Karina had went through tragedy. Her little baby daughter had been kidnapped, and for the sake of this young audience, Karina's time with her daughter came to an end. Karina was in the middle of pain. Karina was in the middle of heartbreak. She didn't have all the answers, but she had a whole lot of questions. But she came into the house of God, and on a Sunday morning, her first time in an atmosphere like this, Karina lifted up her hands, and all of a sudden, surrounded by problems, surrounded by wickedness, surrounded by great darkness, all of a sudden, life began to come over her. Love began to come over her. She lifted up her hands, and all of a sudden, she began to speak in tongues as God filled her with the Holy Ghost. She said, I don't understand it, but I feel joy. I don't understand it, but I feel peace. That same day, not later, she was baptized in the name of Jesus, and every sin was washed away. Next picture. Jennifer on the far left was on her deathbed. She had overdosed. She had lived a life of drugs. She was going back to something that could not fill her. She was going back to something that could not satisfy her. But she kept trying, and she kept trying, and she kept trying, because everybody in this house is hungry. Everybody in this house is thirsty. And everybody in this house has problems and dysfunctions. Every single one of us. But you see, if you noticed, you're in a room with people that have been baptized, and you're in a room with people who've been forgiven, and you're in a room with people that have received the Holy Ghost. And if you ever notice something about people who've had that experience, they're really emphatic that you have it too. So Chance, Jennifer's brother on the far right, He drove 6 hours, crossed state lines, picked up Jennifer. Say, you're not going to die. We're going to take you to where a promise is. They drove to an apostolic Pentecostal service. What? Remind me what kind of service we're in. An apostolic. Just checking. He drove 6 hours, crossed the state lines, picked up Jennifer, and brought her to an apostolic Pentecostal service. And you can guess what happened. A, she got delivered. B, she got delivered. Or C, she got delivered. She threw her hands up. God filled her with the gift of the Holy Ghost. She was baptized in the name of Jesus. She didn't die. She didn't overdose. She didn't go back to drugs. Because the God could see her even when she couldn't see him. Next picture, I'm almost done. Next picture, we were in a hotel. We were overseas, and I was up that morning, and I was in my room, and I was rooming with one of my best friends, and he said, I'm going to go down to the cafeteria. I said, okay, and so he went out, and he did the impartable sin. When he went out, he did not close the door. So I was sitting on my bed, and I was on my phone, and I was looking over, and I was like, I'm not shutting it. I was in a stare down with that doorknob, and I said, you're either going to shut yourself or not shut, because I ain't getting up. I was just going to wait until he came back and shut it. He never did. A few seconds later, there was a family that walked past, and I look up, and I kid you not, there's three people. There's a mom and a dad, husband and wife, and their daughter, and they're all just kind of standing in my doorway, and they're looking at me. Oh, am I in downtown New York or am I in my hotel room? And I look up and I give them a friendly nod and they nod back. Nobody says nothing. Well, in case you haven't figured out, I'm already in a bad mood because someone didn't shut the door. So I'm not in a mood to witness, talk. I'm in a mood to stare. So I just kind of give them the nod and finally they walk on and I get my things together and Ben, I come down to eat. Guess who's at the table next to us? Oh, goodness. We ought to thank God every day that he still uses us in spite of us. So because I wouldn't talk to them, confession's good for the soul, they begin to talk to my other friends. And when I came down, they had lifted up their hands and God was filling them with the Holy Ghost in the cafeteria. God said, Landon, if you're going to be stupid and stubborn, I'll send them to somebody else because I've got one chance. I've got one chance. I don't care if you're in an Uber. I don't care if you're in a hotel room, on the sidewalk, or in the house of God. When God gets ready to give you a promise, I said, when God gets ready to give you a promise, stand to your feet, stand to your feet. Stand to your feet. Next picture. Can we just have a few more seconds of story time with Landon? Thank you very much. I was on my way to minister, and I was going to Mississippi, and there's normally a hotel that I stayed at, and they called me and said, hey, your normal hotel's not available. We don't know what's going on. We've always been able to put you here, so we tried a second hotel. They weren't available, and so we put you in a third hotel, 30 minutes away from where my speaking engagement was. And so I drove in on a Saturday night, and somebody must have not shut the door because I was in a bad mood again. And I'm a sinner saved by grace. And so I got in late that night, and I thought, oh, I got 5 more minutes. I'm going to be home. I'm going to be at the hotel. I'm going to crash. It's going to be a great day in Jesus tomorrow. And Then I realized I was at the other hotel. So I drove another 30 minutes. I was silent, I was mad, and I got in and I was grumbling, getting my things together. I walked in, hey, how you doing? I'm great. No, I'm not. And so we talked a few minutes, and so I met this lady, and did I tell you her name? No? Okay. And what was the name of the last one? Courtney or Karina? Karina, this is Courtney. And so I said, hey, what's your name, Courtney? And Landon, and I said, God just did a transformative work in my life. All that stubbornness had left, and I was smiling. And I said, hey, you should come to church tomorrow. So she gave me my key. I went and got rested up, went to church, and all of a sudden, that next service, she walked in. Next picture, God filled her with the Holy Ghost. God filled her boy with the Holy Ghost. You know what she told me after? She said, what you didn't know is I gave my 3 weeks notice and I was on one of my last shifts at work. So God said, what are our options? Oh, we can, you know, we can let somebody else see her through the week and invite her to church, or we can just have Landon switch hotels and drive 30 extra minutes and he'll be a little mad. He'll get over it. And on one of her last shifts at work, God sent a stubborn, ready-to-go-to-bed young evangelist to walk in and give her an invitation. And the next day, she came in, she received a promise. She received a promise. I don't care if it's a little problem, like being delayed 30 minutes, or if it's a big problem called cancer. God can get you right where. I need somebody to believe it. God can get you right where your promise wants you. Next picture. Barcelona, Spain, Pastor Rafael. He was in the hospital and he was visiting a friend. And he walked in and lady in the church had been very sick in the hospital. It's a problem. It's more of a problem of my little 30-minute escapade. And he walked in and he noticed there was somebody else in the room with her. There was someone else on the other side in the bed. And turns out she was in a coma. So he goes to the hospital to pray for a lady in their church. That's called a problem. And she's in the same room with someone who has a coma. That's called a problem. And he walks over and, you see, when you have the name of Jesus, you're just not scared of stuff you normally would have been scared of. So he walked over and he laid hands on her. And he said, in the name of Jesus, she got out of bed and God filled her with the gift of the Holy Ghost. Not even going to try to convince you. You can believe it or not believe it, but I'm telling you, God can't use your problems. So this is what we're going to do. We're going to step out from where we are. We're going to come to this front right now as a family. I want you to step out from where you are, and I want you to flood this front right now. Adults and kids, everybody. If you're new, don't worry about it. You just blend in. You just come on up. If this is your home church, you just come on up. Everybody, I want you to come up as close as you can. As close as you can. God's getting ready to pour out that promise. God's getting ready to pour out that healing. God's getting ready to pour out that breakthrough in this house. Come on, I see it. Come. Come as close as you can. There's nothing to be afraid of. There's nothing to be embarrassed of. Come in as close as you can. Push back the chairs if you got to. Come as close as you can. Now hear me. Come in as close as you can. Hear me today. If you've never been baptized in the name of Jesus, Maybe you've gotten the Holy Ghost, but you've never been baptized. You need to be baptized in the name of Jesus. Maybe you've not received the gift of the Holy Ghost yet. You can still be baptized in the name of Jesus. So if you're here today and you're questioning, you're wondering, you don't need to hesitate any longer. You need to do what they did in the Bible. And the Bible tells us that they were baptized immediately. One preacher looked at one man and said, "Hey, we've got water. What hinders you?" One man responded and said, "Hey, I don't have a change of clothes." Well, they got a change of clothes here. Some people got baptized and they were in cold water. They don't got cold water. They got nice, warm, bubbly water. But when you lay your head on your pillow tonight, this is my objective for this service. What's the point of this service? What's the point of the choir? What's the point of people being in red shirts? What's the point of a sermon? What's the point of all this? Is that when we lay our head on our pillow tonight, we know that we ask God to forgive us. We know that we were baptized in the name of Jesus. And we know that we were filled with His Spirit. And when we lay our head on that pillow tonight, we're not just going home from a service, but we're being sent with a promise. So this is what we're about to do. Every single one of us are about to pray. We're going to pray a simple prayer, but a sincere prayer. We're going to ask the Lord to forgive us. Not just a few of us, not the ones who've been dirty this week, not the ones who've messed up. No. Everybody, from the platform to the back and all across this building, we're going to ask the Lord to forgive us. Kids, look at me, look at me. We're getting ready to ask the Lord to forgive us. We're going to ask Him to wash away every sin. We're going to surrender everything in our life, our past, our present, and our future. We're going to surrender it to Him. You know what the Bible says? What does the Bible say? The Bible says He's faithful to forgive. The Bible says He's ready to forgive. He's faithful. That's consistency. If you ask Him, He'll forgive you. He's ready. That's urgency. That means He's waiting on you right now. He's waiting on you right now. So throw the condemnation out. Throw the unworthiness out. Get that forgiveness on your tongue. And when we ask the Lord to forgive us, watch. This is what's going to happen. Every single person in this room, we're not just following a program. We're not just going through the motions, but we're being intentional. Every single one of us are going to lift up our hands. When we lift up our hands, we're going to lift up our head. I've done it almost every time I've been here. Why do we lift up our hands? Why do we lift up our head? Because our posture is a reflection of our spirit. If somebody's mad, they don't have to tell you. You can just look at them. Your little baby boy, your little baby girl, if they're excited, they don't even have to tell you. You can just look at them. They're walking in Chuck E. Cheese and they just got the shakes. They're excited. You know what? The same is with our posture in the altar. We're not going to hold our head down in fear. We're not going to put our hands in our pockets in doubt and frustration and condemnation. No. We're going to lift up our hands with the sign of a child towards their Heavenly Father. We're going to lift up our head with expectancy and courage and boldness, knowing that it does not matter what we came in here with. God sees us. And after we've asked the Lord to forgive us, we're going to open up our mouth and we're going to begin to worship God. We're going to begin to praise God. You see, all this sounds so simple. It is. It's not magical. It's not mysterious. We're just doing what the Bible says to do. And you know what the Bible says? The Bible says that He inhabits. He moves in. So when we ask the Lord to forgive us, we're opening our heart. When we're baptized in the name of Jesus, all that junk is washed away. And when we receive the gift of the Holy Ghost, God's Spirit, the love of God shed abroad in our hearts, something moves in. And when we leave this house today, will the diagnosis still come? Yeah. Will the fear still come? Yeah. Will the difficulties of life still come? Yeah. But you're not going to fight it alone. You're not going to deal with it alone. You're not going to handle the addiction alone. You're not going to hear the suicidal thoughts alone. So we're going to ask the Lord to forgive us. We're going to lift up our hands and our head. We're going to begin to open our mouth. We're going to begin to worship the Lord. What does that mean? What does that sound like? God, I love you. God, I praise you. God, I need you. God, I want your Spirit. We're going to thank God. We're not going to beg God. Hear me today. Two things we're not going to do. We're not going to close our mouth and pray silently. We're going to open our mouth and pray out loud. And we're not going to beg God. We're not going to twist his arm. We're going to open our mouth in worship and praise and thanksgiving. You're going to hear me pray with you. And I'm going to pray a prayer of authority. What does that mean? That means we're going to agree together. I'm going to pray a prayer of boldness. And at the end of that short prayer, I'm going to say in the name of Jesus. Look at me, kids. I'm going to say in the name of Jesus. Trivia question, what name am I going to say? Y'all all get a prize. I'm going to say in the name of Jesus. Why don't we just practice it? On the count of three, just say Jesus. One, two. I didn't say three. One, two, one, two, two, one, one, two, three. I'm going to shout it now. One, two, three.
Jesus.
That name has power. That name strikes fear in the heart of the adversary. That name brings deliverance. That name brings love and hope. So this is what we're getting ready to do. When we shout the name of Jesus, that Holy Ghost, that love, that power of God that's all around you, you're going to feel it come on the inside of you. Some of you have been praying before and you haven't received it. You're going to get it today. Some of you have never prayed for it in your life. You're praying for it for the first time today. You're going to receive it. Some of you have already received the Holy Ghost. If you're a testimony of this promise and you've received the gift of the Holy Ghost, you've spoken in tongues, just raise your hand for just a moment. Just raise your hands. Come on, you ought to look around for just a moment. That's a testimony. That's a testimony. That's a testimony. Now put your hands down. If you're in this house today, God wants to fill you. If you've already got the Holy Ghost, God wants to fill you. If you've never received it, God wants to fill you. If today's your first time, God wants to fill you. So if you happen to be here today, nobody really happens to be here. But if you're here today and you've never received the gift of the Holy Ghost, you've never spoken in tongues yet, but today's going to be your first time, I'm going to ask you to do something bold. It's a step of faith, but you're around family. There's no shame. There's no embarrassment. God, who does God want to fill in just a moment? He wants to fill everybody. So whether you get it for the first time or whether you get it for the 100th time, God wants to fill you today. I said, God wants to fill you today. So if you're here today and you've never received the Holy Ghost yet, today's going to be the first time. I want you just to do something bold and raise your right hand at me. Will you do that? Kids, adult, you've never received the gift of the Holy Ghost. You've never spoken in tongues. You want to receive it today. I want you to thank you for those hands. 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 Now, this is what we're going to do. This is what we're going to do. Everybody's going to take one step back. Everyone's going to take one step back. Now you're going to take one more step. That's two steps. So everyone's going to take one more step back. So whether you're an adult, whether you're a child, whether you're a teenager, if you're here today and today's going to be your very first time, I want you just to join me in the front. Would you do that? I want you just to join me in the front. If you just raise your hand, I want you just to join me in the front. Would you do that? If you just raise your hand, I just want you to come up to the front. There's no shame. There's no embarrassment. I want you just to come to the front. Everybody's going to be at the front, but I want to give you special access. I want to give you special access. If you just raise your hand, I want you to come as close as you can. As close as you can. Now, we're getting ready to pray right now. All right? We're getting ready to pray. We're getting ready to ask the Lord to forgive us right where you are, all across this house. And God's getting ready to fill us. Are you ready? Ask your neighbor, are you ready? Are you ready? Turn to your neighbor and tell them you're about to get the Holy Ghost. Come on, speak faith. Say, you're about to get the Holy Ghost. Oh, some of you are starting to believe it. Say, you're about to receive the promise. All across this house, would you lift up your hands? It's not going to be hard. It's not going to be complicated. God's looking for somebody full of faith. God's looking for someone hungry. That's it. Every hand lifted right now. Ministers, get ready to help me pray. Church family, get ready to help me pray. Come on, that's it. Every hand lifted. Every hand raised. Come on, children, help me. Every eye closed. I want you to begin to ask the Lord to forgive you right now. Come on, that's it. Right where you are. Right where you are. Come on, that's it. Open your mouth. God, forgive me. God, wash me. Come on, team, get ready to help me pray. Come on, that's it. Jesus, forgive me. Jesus, forgive me. Jesus, wash me. I don't want the guilt. I don't want the shame. I don't want the intimidation. I don't want the hurt. Come on, that's it. Tell God. Give it to God. Give it to God. Come on, I feel His love in this house right now. Come on, reach out for just a moment. I surrender everything to you, God. I surrender everything to you, God. Come on, that's it for just a few seconds longer. Forgive me, God. Forgive me, God. Forgive me, God. Forgive me, God. Now hear me for just a moment. You've asked the Lord to forgive you. Now we're about to begin to transition to worship. Now some of you already feel God more right now than you did a moment ago. What happened? You just started talking to Him. You just started reaching for Him. Guess what? We're about to lift up our hands. We're about to lift up our head. And I'm going to pray the prayer of faith. And when I say in the name of Jesus, I want you to shout Jesus just like you did a moment ago. We're going to begin to worship. We're going to begin to praise. But when I say Jesus, that's your signal to shout Jesus as loud as you can. And when you shout Jesus, you're going to feel the Holy Ghost like a river coming to your heart and begin to overflow out of your mouth. When you shout Jesus, your tongue's going to want to move. It's going to want to speak sounds you don't understand. It's already moving on some of you. Don't keep it in. You let it out. Don't keep it in. Do what everybody else is doing. Speak it out. And that's the gift. That's the promise. That's the Holy Ghost. And you're going to receive it. Put your hand on your heart. Say, I'm ready to receive it. I'm going to receive it. Now lift your hands all across this house. Lift up your head. Close your eyes. Begin to worship the Lord right now. Begin to worship the Lord right now. I worship you. I praise you. I give you all the glory. It's getting ready to fall. It's getting ready to fall. By the power of the word and the authority of the name, I loose the Holy Ghost to fall on you right now in the name of Jesus. Come on, receive it right now. Receive it right now. Receive it right now.